Stand at your watchpost and wait for the Lord. A vision has been promised at the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. Stand at your watchpost. Now let us stand as we are able and join together in the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. When we need to climb a tree to look for help, Christ proclaims, "I am coming to your house today." When we feel lost and have nowhere to turn, Christ assures us, "I am coming to your house today." Christ is coming. Christ is with us even now. Worship the Lord with joy and praise. Let us please join together in our opening prayer. Righteous One, hear our cries in the bitter watches of the night. We come before you with zeal in our hearts, ready to stand at our watchpost, ready to receive the vision you promised your people. We come seeking justice for the weak, hope for the downtrodden, and healing for the afflicted. In times of trial, we yearn to see your face and behold the glory of our salvation. Be the vision we need, that we may find the courage to persevere, that salvation may come to our homes this day through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in the opening hymn, For All the Saints, hymn number 711 in the Blue Hardback Methodist Hymnal.
Thank you. Friends, you may be seated. And I know it's not in your bulletins, but I promise, or at least I hope to promise, that this is the only curveball I'm going to throw you today. Friends, All Saints Day is coming up pretty close here. And one of the traditions in our church is that we remember those who have passed away from our congregation. So friends, I invite you to hold love and grace in your hearts as we read these names and remember and honor the members who have gone on before us. Marilyn Rain. James Webster. Daryl Steck. Laura Nell Hendrickson. Gladys Benny Bittner. Lee Berryhill. Deborah Gilbert. John Morse. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for your love, your promises, and your faithfulness, and for you. God, we give you thanks that you have taken your people home, that there's a place for all of us that waits. God, bless them and keep them. And may it be that we are reunited at the end of all things. May we find hope not only in eternity, but also here and now. Lord, comfort the ways that we have felt sorrow. Comfort us as we struggle finding ways to grieve for some people whom we have not been able to yet. And Lord, help us know that you are with us now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, I invite you to continue praying with us as we lift up the prayers of the people. Gracious God, thank you that you do listen to us, that you do help us along our way throughout this life. Lord, we pray for healing for those who have eye issues, those who are recovering from the ICU, those who are battling cancer. God, we pray that you might be with them, that you might give them grace and support and comfort, that you might give wisdom and guidance to the doctors and the nurses, that you might give that same guidance and wisdom to the families as you also comfort them. God, we pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are healing. May their recovery be swift, and may their joy be complete. And God, we give thanks for the people who help. We give thanks for everyone who comes together and lends a hand, who looks out for each other, who makes it possible to live life. God, we give you thanks. And may our gratitude, may our thankfulness be present on our faces, be ever in our hearts. May our actions come from them. God, we give you thanks. And we ask that you hear our prayers, both those that we spoke aloud and those that are heavy on our hearts. Lord, be with us. And all of this in your name, all of this by your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the people said, Amen. So with the confidence of the children of God, I invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Hey, if there's kids in here, I'd love to invite you up right now.
Hello? Good morning, everyone. That was first try. All right, so I have something. What is this?
Paper.
It is paper. It's a finished candy corn. It's white at the top, right?
It's a candy.
Yeah, we're going to make it white at the top. All right, so here's our candy corn. All right, who here knows what the Trinity is? Who here knows what the Trinity is? All right. Can you help us out? It's okay if it's a guess. So it's how there's three in one, right? So we have, do we know what the three are? Any guesses? Close. One is God, yes. Let's see. Let's see if I can, I'm left-handed and I kind of messed myself up here. All right, so God's up, we'll put God at the top because that was the first one I heard. All right, what else do you think we have? Not love. It's a person. Jesus, yes, good job. All righty. I just thought he would like to be on yellow. Do you think that's a good color? No? Okay, we can change it later. What else? We got one more. It's not the disciples. It's the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So, all right, we'll talk. All right, hold on. Let me write this down. Thank you. Thank you. I'll put ghost. Right? If I spelt something wrong, nobody say anything. All righty. So, that's kind of weird, right? So we have three. So one is God. Who's God? He is our Savior. He's like, and yes, God and Jesus are technically with the Trinity. They would be one and the same, right? Right. So what does that make the Holy Ghost? You're right. It'd make the Holy Ghost a part of the three, right? So with our candy corn, as we've pointed out, we have three colors on our candy corn. I'll try to turn it so everyone can see it. So what colors do we have? We have white, yellow, and orange, right? But they're all part of the same thing, even though they're different colors, right? They all make up a candy corn. Isn't that pretty cool? That's pretty cool. Is the yellow supposed to go at the bottom? Well, I learned something today. Yeah. All right. So I don't know how to draw a candy corn. But now all of you guys know what the Trinity is. So I think that's a fair trade. You guys have all taught me how it goes. We'll figure it out. We'll Google it later. All right. So quick reminder. What is the Trinity? God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Right. And they're all a part of one thing. Right. They're all together. That's pretty cool. All righty. Before we pray, you all worked on something pretty cool during Sunday school. So, Tommy's going to bring it up for us. Let's all give a big thank you to Pastor Luke.
All right, because I know that I wouldn't be able to read that all the way in the back. So, it says, our pastor is a, what is that? Sweet tarts for everything he does. He is always there to pick up the Reese's Pieces and answer our whatchamacallit. Sometimes we act like, your words, not mine, friends. Or nerds. Hey, I'm a church nerd, so we're in good company here. And you probably think we're from the Milky Way. Don't worry, we all are. But you've made a mounds of difference in our lives. Thank you for getting us in double mint condition for heaven. And thanks for making us smarties. We hit payday when you joined our church family and a big score with your family. You are our Superman. I can't bend steel. I'm sorry, friends. And love you. I'm sorry. That's not Pez. That is Pez. It's Superman. And love you with all our hearts. Hey, everyone, thank you. Are we going to pray now?
Alrighty, friends, shall we pray?
Yeah.
Alright. Hey, God.
Hey, God.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
For bringing us here today. Teaching us about the Trinity. And how to draw candy corn. And thank you so much. For Pastor Luke and his family. Amen.
To think that I have to follow a candy gram like that. Let our service now continue with the words from the Old Testament coming to us today from the book of Job, the second chapter, verses 11 through 13. Now when Job's three friends heard of all these troubles that he had come upon him, each of them set out from his home. Eliza from Timonite, Bildad from Shunite, and Zophar from Naamanite. They met together to go and console and confront him. When they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him, and they raised their voices and wept aloud. They tore their robes and threw dust up in the air and upon their heads. They sat with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him. For they had saw that his suffering was very great. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh, Thank you, choir.
Friends, at this time, we have our offering. This is a moment where, I know, I say it every Sunday, right? This is a moment where we remember not only is God faithful and will provide, not only are the gifts that we give able to sustain our church and bless our community, but that it's a moment where we get to reflect that God has been good and that God will be faithful. So friends, it's no secret, your tithes, your offerings, your gifts, your prayers, your talent, all of it helps us continue to do the ministry that God has called us to do. So if you'd like to partner with us, continue to partner with us. We're going to pass the plates, but that's not the only way that you can give. You can also give online or through checks. We promise that they get to where they need to go. But friends, thank you for all the ways that you do help and that you do support this congregation and your town. At this time, we invite you to reflect on the ways that God has been good. Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have blessed us. Lord, help us not fear, help us keep our eyes on you. Help us know that all will be well, that you are with us, that you will provide for us. And Lord, help us remember that our blessings that you first gave us, that now we give back to you. Lord, help us remember that they are for the good of our community. Help us remember to share what you have given us. Help us remember to be faithful and grateful and generous. For Lord, we know that it is in giving that we receive. We know that it is your grace that will heal this world. And we know that you will be with us no matter what. Lord, bless our gifts. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to stay standing still as we sing our next hymn, Are You Able?, on page 530 in your blue hardback hymnal or up on the screens. Friends, you may be seated. Our gospel lesson today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. This is the gospel, according to Luke. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" Now they stood still and looked sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village where they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, "Amen. Amen." It's true, friends. I've grown up in the Midwest. How many of you like getting compliments? You're much more mature people than I am. Let me tell you that, right? But it's got me thinking today, and it ties into the gospel, actually. And also Job. And I want to start with Job. How many of you have heard that story before, Job? It's an oldie. It's a goodie. If they haven't turned it into a play yet, they need to, and I think they have in a couple different iterations. But it is a fascinating little story about why do bad things happen to good people. Now, I know I'm going to dangle that over you and tease you with a little bit. We're not dealing with that today. There will be a Wednesday coming up for our Wednesday night meal where we'll deal with that. But today I want to talk about Job's friends. These three guys named Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. If you're looking for names for kids, there you go. But Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they heard Job was in trouble. You've probably heard of friends that you've had that they were having a rough time, or their kids weren't doing so well, or their parents were struggling, or it doesn't matter what.
You've all known people who have had a rough go of it. Yes? Yes. So what do? See, this is the hard part, isn't it? Sometimes we don't quite know what to do. If you've ever been to a funeral and you walk through the line to greet and comfort the family, what do you say? Sorry. Is it your fault? No, right? I have to remind my friends and family of this time. I'm not saying sorry because I did something wrong. I'm saying sorry because I don't know what else to say. But I know you're hurting, and I'm hurting with you. See, I think that's the part of this first part of the story. Where what was it? What were their names? Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. If we don't have those memorized by the end of the day, I don't know, right? Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they did it right at first. What did they do? They walked up to Job. They saw him. They didn't even recognize him. He was in such a sorry state. But they tore their coats off, threw them on the ground, took dust and threw it up into the air so that their faces would be covered. If they could have shaved off their heads, I'm sure they would have done it too. They mourned with Job. And when they got to him, what did they do? They sat down. And what did they say? Nothing. For 7 whole days, they said nothing. See, sometimes I think we forget that presence is just as powerful as words are. That when people are mourning, like the 2 disciples on the walk to Emmaus, that when people are mourning, sometimes all we want to do is sit with someone and know that we're not alone. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's that alone part, isn't it? It's different than being in solitude, right? How many of you have ever been lonely? What's the difference? Do you know the difference? See, solitude, I go out to be away from people. Why? Oh, you can say it. It's fine. We've all been there before, right? Because sometimes I just need a break. Sometimes my social and emotional tank is empty. I was driving with Nora doing errands yesterday, and the light went on. I'm thinking, surely I've got enough gas to do what we need to do today. And then it dropped 1 tick, and then it dropped another tick, and I turned back to Nora and I said, "You got your shoes on, right?" Sometimes it's like that with people, isn't it? But the difference between wanting to be alone and being lonely is this. When I'm lonely, what do I want? Company. I want friends. I want to know that there's someone else, even if they're not sharing my experience, someone else who will at least listen to it. See, this was the walk to Emmaus, right? The 2 disciples. I'm sure they could have walked one by one, right? I'm sure they could have gone on their own, but what had just happened? Jesus had just been crucified, killed, had been executed. They'd gone through something traumatic, and not just walking on the road for safety, but walking on the road, why? Because they were grieving, and they didn't want to be alone. See, it's easy in time when times are tough to reach out and ask for help. How many of you are Midwesterners and don't like to ask for help? Remember, I broke a rake in 2, right? It's easy when times are tough to do that. It's a lot harder when times are going well. There's this thing that we've grown up with. Maybe you've heard it before. It's called rugged individualism. Go ahead, say that with me. Rugged individualism. It's this idea that I can do it on my own. That I don't need
help. But what do we see here in Scripture?
When Job was in trouble, what happened? People came to comfort him. When Jesus was crucified, what did the disciples do? They came together.
And it goes even further than that, unfortunately. When the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, what happened? Jesus came up, said, "What's going on?" Because Jesus is a little bit of a sly trickster sometimes. Jesus comes up, says, "What's going on?" And they say, "Haven't you heard? Jesus died and he was supposed to be the one. He was supposed to save us from our sin, from our guilt. He was supposed to restore Israel. Everything was supposed to be okay now." These disciples, they had the scriptures. They had their synagogues, which are kind of like our churches. They had people helping them through life, telling them what things meant. And it's fascinating what Jesus says here.
He said, I'm going to paraphrase. He said, "You silly geese. You silly geese. Didn't you know this was supposed to happen? Don't you have your books and your scrolls? Don't you know what was supposed to take place?"
Even as we read Scripture, that's hard stuff, friends. A lot of it doesn't always make sense. It takes reading it together most days, and even then it takes the Holy Spirit poking and nudging and guiding you along the right way. Even our faith we can't do alone. What was that word? Rugged what? Individualism, right? See, something like this flies in the face of everything we've been taught growing up. Everything we are that's reinforced through media and advertisements and all of that stuff. If you're not feeling uncomfortable now, thanks be to God. If you are feeling uncomfortable now, don't worry. Even I'm feeling uncomfortable now. Because the truth of it is, we don't do life alone. It takes all of us helping one another. We know that very intimately when we reflect on what Christ has paid, how our sins have been forgiven, because we couldn't do that on our own. At least that's been pounded into our head from year after year after year. Our faults, our failures, the ways we don't measure up, God still loves us, and that's what? Grace. See, it's more than that, though. It's more than that. We aren't forgiven by our own power. There's nothing we can do. It's the grace and love of God, which is always present, by the way. And the kingdom of God isn't built by one person either. Do you remember back to the Genesis story? See, I love these stories, right? There's so much to pull out of them. You could read them over and over and over again and still glean something from them. Do you remember the Genesis story? God created what? Everything, right? God created everything. And when Adam and Eve were on the planet, or I guess it depends on which one you're reading, chapter 1 or chapter 2, but when humans were on the planet, what did God ask them to do? To all of the animals. Do you remember? He asked them to name them. It's a real small example, friends, but one question that I have is, why couldn't God have just named them God's self? Why not? Why did God need us to name the animals? Because I think God delights in working with us. It's exactly what we were talking about with the kids up front here. God delights in community. This is why there's something called the Trinity, which honestly is real confusing. Even as a pastor, I'll admit that. It's hard to grapple with that one.
We don't walk through life alone. We don't grieve alone. We don't build the kingdom. What? Alone. We build it together. So friends, today, if you're grieving, and if you need some time, if you're peopled out, please take some time. But don't feel like you have to do this alone. If there's a task before you and it seems insurmountable, I think you'd be surprised if you just ask for help. Because friends, it happens throughout our entire lives. Those of you who are older than me, that's true, right? This is a lesson that we have to learn over and over and over again. Amen? Amen. It's a lesson that these kids taught me today. Remember I said I'm born and raised in the Midwest and I don't like what? Compliments. I know, right? They make me feel uncomfortable. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Why are you thanking me for it? But friends, that's a part of it, isn't it? That's a part of it. Being thanked is something that these kids were teaching me. It's something that I still have to learn and will continue to learn. Because I don't grow by myself. I grow with all of you. So friends, wherever you are in your faith walk right now, just know that we don't do this alone. We do this together. We grow together, we grieve together, we rejoice together, and we build the kingdom of God. What? Together. So may it be so. May you reach out. May you walk with each other, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, so that the kingdom of God might be made visible. Amen. Amen.
Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you that you don't just do everything for us, but that you invite us into the process so that we might grow, that our faces might shine like yours, that we might be able to help each other and invite others into the process too. God, help us remember that. Help us to remember that even if things go slower, that the blessings and the grace that comes from working with each other is something beautiful to behold. God, help us be one as you are one. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, as you are able, please stand and join us in our final hymn. I often say I have just enough knowledge to get myself in trouble. So if you're looking at this hymn and you say, that's not the tune we typically sing it to, that's okay. It'll still fit. The words are up on the screen, but if you like the notes, it's printed in your bulletin as well. Friends, please join us in our hymn, O Day of Peace That Dimly Shines.
Thank you.
Friends, may the Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and give you peace. May you walk with one another. May your footsteps echo each other's. May you know that you're not alone. May you know that the grace of God goes with you, and that God has called it good, good indeed, that our hands work side by side. Friends, go with God, build the kingdom, and God will go with you. And all the people said, amen and amen. Huge shout out to the choir, the musicians, the tech team, the people, to Lindsay, to everyone who makes this possible. Big thank you to everyone helping with the carpet. Big thank you to every one of you. Can you turn to each other and say thank you? Friends, go in peace, serve the Lord, enjoy your Sabbath and rest. Today, our service is ended.